I'm more interested this morning on the answer than I am the question, but I'm going to read the question. Found in the book of Exodus, chapter number 8 today. I've sure enjoyed the good singing of the young people this morning. You would not believe. You would not believe the churches I see with no young people in them. I thank God for our young people this morning. Any of you would like to use the nursery, 3 years old and down, they can meet you in the foyer with your children. We have back nurseries provided through those glass. There's changing tables. There's rockers there, a place you can be comfortable. Still set in on the service, but if you'd like to use those, they are available this morning. The book of Exodus, chapter number 8. Verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. The children of Israel were in bondage. They were in hard bondage. And I want to say, if you're a child of God today, God has never intended for you to be in bondage, but to bring you freedom. So here God, again, is interested in His people. He told Pharaoh, if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I'll smite all thy borders with frogs. God said, there's going to be repercussions, what I'm going to do. You know, I've noticed this about God. God may not keep you from doing what you're going to do, but you can't keep God from doing what He's going to do either. The Bible said in verse 3, the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. They shall go up and come to thine house and the bedchamber and upon your bed. They'll even go into the house of your servants and upon your people and in your ovens and unto your kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth his hand with thy rod over the streams, the rivers, the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. Could you imagine standing there that day? The frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. They worked for Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord. Very interesting verse in 8. Entreat the Lord. In other words, talk to God for me. Talk to God that He may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I'll let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. Here's our question this morning. You might want to underline it. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee in thy houses that they remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow you may be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you for the good grace of God, how good you've been to us. Thank you for the good spirit this morning that God has helped and touched our hearts. Thank you for these people that have brought their children. Thank you for these that work with our children. Lord, as our Bible school fastly approaches here, I pray that God, you would do great things with the children in this community. Help us now in preaching today. I'm a needy preacher. I pray you to help me to be a blessing this morning. Touch our lives and our hearts, I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I guess I could preach on several titles this morning. That's really not important. It's the text that's important. I guess I could preach on, is this your final answer? Or I could preach, if I have in days gone by, on another night with the frogs. It amazes me in this passage that, first of all, there is a confronting of the frogs. There was a statement made to God, to His man, about these frogs. In Exodus 8, verses 1 and 2, there's the mouthpiece of confronting. He simply spoke unto Moses and said, go unto Pharaoh. I'm glad God still has mouthpieces in this day and this hour. Our country is not in the shape that it's in today because of preaching, but because of the lack of preaching. And so God had a mouthpiece. Then God had a message. He sent it to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go that they may serve me. Now, you'll notice here in verse 1, it's not only God's ambition that we be set free, but secondly, that we would serve Him. You see, many of you, the devil will never show you this, but when you serve the Lord, you have discipline with God in your life, and you're really serving Him, then God gets all the honor and the glory out of that service. And God loves for His children to serve Him, to acknowledge Him, to keep Him in front, keep Him in focus. Let Him be everything in your daily walk, in your weekly life. Let God be first, for God is interested in you this morning. There is this confronting of the frogs. God had a mouthpiece. God had a message, but you'll notice also, He said in verse 2, God had mercy. He said, if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. God has always showed mercy. He said, if you refuse, there's a payday coming. You know, aren't you glad we have a God that's full of mercy? We hear a lot of soft preaching on the God of love and the God of mercy, but within that, there brings balance. There is a God of wrath. And so here this morning, there's the confronting of these frogs. We see the mouthpiece that God used, the message God sent, the mercy God expressed. But then there is the matter of confronting. He said, and I will smite all thy borders with frogs. You know, a lot of people, it's hard for them to reckon in their mind and in their heart that there is a God that brings repercussions of our decisions. You know, on that great day in September in America, when those jets flew in the buildings, can I tell you that was no accident? God allowed that to happen in our country. I'm not saying that God monitored that, for we know that God does not deal with evil, but God allows things. I believe God has allowed things in the life of the American people in order to get their attention back to God. And this morning, so many times in our life, God brings things to get our attention, to get us back on track. So here there's the confronting of these frogs, and then secondly, in verse number 6, there is the confirming of the frogs. The Bible said, and Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The confirming of the frogs. In verse 3, the frogs were numerous. They were very abundant. And then the frogs were noisome. The Bible said in verse 3 that they would come into the bedchambers, into the houses, upon the servants. They would come in the ovens and even in the kneading troughs. Could you imagine living in this day and this hour, and you were Moses and you walked up to Pharaoh and he simply told Pharaoh, he said, God said, let his people go. And if you don't let them go, God's going to smite all the borders of Egypt with frogs. So Pharaoh delayed, and so God spoke to Moses and said, you have Aaron, stretch forth his hand. He stretched forth his hand out across the waters, and could you imagine being standing there that day and frogs totally just wrap up the whole place where they were living. The Bible said that they were even in the beds. My goodness, could you imagine laying down with frogs in your bed? You know, Miss Renee, she has different levels of screams. I can be out at the barn or doing things, Brother David, and I know the difference between a lizard scream and a spider scream. You know, I've often wondered, now, here is Pharaoh and all these people, and God has allowed all these frogs to come into where they lived and where they were sleeping. Could you imagine going to the pantry and getting in your loaf of bread and a frog jumps out? Could you imagine going to the refrigerator, getting your bologna and mayonnaise, and all of a sudden frogs jump out? Could you imagine putting your biscuits in the oven and you open that door and frogs just fill the floor full? And so I see here that God meant what He said. A lot of people, they're doubtful about what God has had to say. Matter of fact, Brother Jerry, there are many scoffers in this day and this hour, and they're crying, where is the promise of His coming? Honey, you write it down, Jesus is coming, and everything He's ever said is either come to pass or it's coming to pass. And get ready, church, Jesus is coming. There's the confirming of these frogs. They were numerous, they were noisome. The Bible said they were even in the kneading troughs, they were nauseous. Could you imagine? There's the ladies who are making their flour and their mixture in the kneading troughs to make the bread of the day, and there was frogs in everything that they had to do. Frogs were nauseous. I don't know if anybody's ever swallowed a frog, but I guarantee you, it wouldn't set real well with you. So here these frogs were numerous. They were every place. These frogs were noisome. I want to ask you something. Is your frogs making any racket at your house? The frogs, the things that God has told you to get rid of, but you just kept keeping on. I wonder, are these frogs noisome to you? I wonder, are these frogs nauseous to you? Now, thirdly, there's the conforming of these frogs. He said this in a statement in verse 9. It's one of the most amazing statements in the Bible. And I use this not only as the confronting of the frog, the confirming of the frog, but now the conforming of the frog. Pharaoh must have liked it better than I thought he would. Because when Moses, you'll notice this, Pharaoh went to Moses and he said, would you talk to God for me? I noticed there was a soft place coming in Pharaoh's heart for a moment. He came and he said, would you talk to God for me? And so Moses responded, he said, yeah, I sure will. When would you have these frogs to stay? Or when would you like these frogs to leave? And he made this amazing statement, tomorrow. I want to ask y'all something today. If you went to your home, you got in your car and you opened it, there's frogs went every place. You went in your door, frogs came out. Before you laid down today, frogs came out. You got up to eat your cereal, frogs was there. You went on the porch, frogs was there. Wouldn't you be getting tired of frogs? So I asked you this morning, why would you stay another night with the frogs? We say, well, preacher, that's one of the craziest things I've ever seen that a man say, tomorrow. You know, I've seen it a lot of times in pastoring. I've seen it a lot of times in business. I've seen it a lot of times in family. I've even seen it in my own life. Tomorrow. Yeah, Lord, I'd like to get this handled, but I want to stay one more night with it. You know, I noticed this yesterday as I was pinning some things down. There's three things in this text. I wrote it down over there while the children were singing today. I think it really goes along with this message now. The delays of today bring discomforts tonight. And the delays today, the things that we could handle now, bring discomforts tonight. But then thirdly, many times it brings destruction tomorrow. So we have today, tonight, and tomorrow. I hear a lot of people say, well, preacher, I intend on being saved. And I'm going to get saved tomorrow. But I want to ask you, what if tomorrow don't come? I've heard people say, well, preacher, I'm going to get this handled. But tomorrow. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm going to get started back having God disciplined in my life. I'm going to start getting back on a church schedule. But I'm going to delay today. And it's going to bring me problems tonight. And no telling what it's going to cost me tomorrow. I heard of an old preacher this week as I was reading this passage, pondering on this. He made a pretty good parallel. And he said he went and visited a family to come to church, get their life in order with God. He said the wife immediately came. She got gloriously saved, born again, trusted Christ as her Savior. Got to come to church regular, and her husband would not come. He'd go back and he'd visit that man week after week, and he'd walk up and say, sir, I wish you'd come to church Sunday. I wish you'd start putting God where He needs to be in your life. I want to challenge you, encourage you to do that. And this is what he'd always say to the preacher. Preacher, I'm coming down there when I get straightened out. He'd go back week after week, and Brother Vince's statement was this, I'm going to get my life in order when I get straightened out. Well, the man died. Rolled him in church. Old preacher got up and he thought to himself, well, sir, you got one thing. You come to church when you got straightened out. But I want to say this morning, it was too late. Don't you think about losing the opportunity to be saved today and squander away tomorrow. We have no idea about tomorrow, but we do know about today. For the Bible said today is the day of salvation. You know, a person must come when the Spirit of God is dealing with them. You don't hear that much preached any day in this hour. But John 6:44 simply says this, no man comes to the Father except the one that has sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Bible said in the book of Genesis chapter 6 that my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Man must come when God deals with that heart. And a lot of times when God deals with our heart, we say, tomorrow. You know, I was riding home from a meeting about 3 weeks ago. I was headed back to the motel room. I just got done preaching. God came in that Suburban, got to talk with me, something that I needed to handle that night. I mean, it was probably wouldn't mean a lot to you, but it must have meant a lot to God. So it got to meaning a lot to me. He told me to call a person and do something. I didn't want to do it. And so I went by the cookout and I got me one of those grilled chicken sandwiches, and the more I ate it, the bigger it got. I didn't care how much Pepsi I drank, it just wouldn't go down. I went back to the room and I laid down and I called Miss Renee and I checked in. I just didn't want to talk with her maybe 45 seconds and I hung up because I was just so nauseous, so troubled. And I said, Lord, I'm going to mind you and I'm going to do this. I'm going to handle this tonight. And I dialed that phone and first ring, this man answered. You know what he said? Hello, Brother Ken. I said, hey, preacher. God wanted me to call you and apologize to you about something. I want to ask you to forgive me. I've learned from it. He started crying. I started crying. I had camp meeting in that little old room that night down by my bed. I hung up and I said, God, thank you for that heavy weight getting off my life, out of my heart. Thank you that I minded you today. Can I tell you, you'll never go wrong minding God today. But you may lose great blessings by not minding the today, waiting on tomorrow. Conforming of frogs, I asked you today, how in the world could anybody live in that environment and get used to it? I've heard a lot of people say, preacher, why in the world would a man want to live in that another night? Well, I've got a personal question. Why would you want to live like that another night? God is so good. And you know, I've noticed this conforming of the frog, there is the decision of postponing. Tomorrow has been the cry for many years. Tomorrow! I'll handle it tomorrow! I'll do it tomorrow! I read in the Bible, and I'm about done preaching, but I will read this to you. There was a man that had the same actions in Acts 24. And 24, and I'll read it to you. I'll get back to our text in Exodus 8. But Acts 24, I want to read this to you. Paul is writing now, and he said, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jew, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. Here it is. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Our nature is to put off, to prolong, to put off. But I've noticed things never get any better. They just get worse when I procrastinate and put off and put off and put off. There is a salvation today. Did you know the Christ that died for you over 2,000 years ago, His blood can still wash you clean today? Did you know the Bible that was written by so many inspired men of God, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, it's God's Word, not one error in it, and it's still right today. I'd ask you this morning, just simply using this text, what would God have you to do today? You see, I've noticed something. When I was driving to church, I thought about this morning. The decisions that we make today affect people tomorrow. Pharaoh, it was up to Pharaoh. It wasn't up to God. It's not up to God if you get saved. He's done everything He can do. It's up to you to get saved. It wasn't up to God to get rid of these frogs. It was simply up to Pharaoh. Pharaoh only had to ask and say, I've had enough. Take them. God would have piled them up. And I noticed something in this text that I didn't read earlier. But look what it says. The Bible said in He said, tomorrow, verse 11, the frogs shall depart from you, the house, from your servants, from your people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord said, according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. Watch. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. You know, there's a lot of people call on God when they have a great need, and then when God fixes the need, they forget about God. That's the way Pharaoh did. You know, we call it deathbed religion. I believe people get saved on their deathbed. I do believe that. But I believe a lot of times in a great crisis, we call out to God and God gets it fixed and we forget all about God. Pharaoh did. You'll notice that even though that this plague left, there was a stink left behind. I want to say this morning that forgiveness occurs immediately, but restoration takes a while. The cleanup took a while. Oh, the messes in my life I've made. The stench of our sin will hang around a long, long time. It reminds me this morning, there is a God that wants to help me today. I don't care who you are or what you've done. Miss Sherry, if you'd come. There's a God that helps today. A God that can change things today. And church, may we not just call on God when we really need something. But could we remember to pray to Him and thank Him when we don't need something? Lord, thank You for how good You've been to us. Now I want to ask you today,